Blog Talk Radio.
This is Cal Nez, and you are on Inter Navajo Internet Radio. Yat Ehnan Hidishnido Leshkahasinto. Arehashin Zare Nare Sio Kizigi. The radio show here is called Navajo Politics with Cal Nez. And I appreciate all of you dialing in Hashin Zare Aisinosa Internet. Arehushted Hoshnet, Nichi Dahoshnet. A kodi kad ii aage koi kare tsu tsu gira haz kens do the moro ta ichi a koi hol jish a ko joit a tan his ba hozen a re da is mel primary hol yo ba na ste a ro joit ne kacha go she e ko ne benagat nil te hat no e hot o a ko joi a re the neck e na kigo e a re ha kinish the Navajo Nation Council delegates, they chihigi aj estotne astotna chigo sakushi asahade chihinte go. Ako joy kadehuto a stage is set, will ya? Ako joy ado e hushtan hote shij e kade ko tara huto torture. Ada Vice President, Ada na kiko e na bikit ini join kispa hozen. Akoho nehe ada hait oban sokkes. Hait o e hut o didene. The Navajo Nation government will yell. Joy ada ba net ego in le me ye den hushten hote shizo. Kade konhojish. Ako di Navajo Nation. Shirovan siske so e kon e jo e at e to heha e kuro to e. Dene e bichin hish. Bichin. Hane ishla. Krista Sheeney's Vice President Selection. E gedil ni ge e Fannie Lowe. Etsiri. Joy Atoto, she's from that area, from Shiprock, New Mexico. Otto from the Joe Shirley's selection was also another one from Atoto, Dene Benali, Wilyao. And both of these, in terms of any political experience running for an office of this magnitude, I don't think that they, neither of them been there, but I guess that's the risk that the presidential candidates had to take. What do you think are the reasons why that they decided to? In every selection, in every aspect of what we're doing here, is what does it mean and how are the politics going to pan out? That, I guess, in essence, is a political selection, or is it an effective selection for either one? So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm also monitoring the Facebook, and that's why I look back and forth and looking at the screen and also at my other screen, which basically has the Facebook input on the politics on the Navajo Nation. I just pinned it on there, and there's a lot of people who have some very, very strong opinions about the direction of the Navajo Nation, how is it and where we're going with this, and of course with the 17 Vice President Joy Hutoi Bikitini, Joe Shirley Camp and the Dischidi Camp. Ako Aren Nihe Heitoban Sokis. Aren Hushten Hushne. 323-642-1708. That's the number, and you're listening to Navajo Politics with Cal Nez, and it's Wednesday evening, and welcome. I encourage people to call in, and you know, it's as easy as dialing the number, and you'll be able to listen in, and as well as hearing what we are talking about, and so also click on the link. You should be able to get on in terms of the internet. And so I also had very good internet connection while I was in New Mexico section, but the Navajo Nation section, the internet connections were very sparse, very weak in certain areas. And that's why I was just totally unable to do any type of radio show from from off the Navajo Nation. And so unless I didn't even get back into where I was staying for a night's rest, in a lot of cases I didn't even get back in until 2 o'clock in the morning. And, of course, I did my paperwork and did all my various emails, text messages, and such like that. By the time I went to sleep, it was 4 o'clock in the morning. And then so the repetition of all of this. So basically what I'm trying to say is that, some people out there on the Navajo Nation are unable to listen to the radio show, but they're able to still get on Politics on the Navajo Nation. So if you have any questions, please call in. And if there's any insight, any information that you can contribute to the direction of the Navajo Nation government, I think it's absolutely very, very important that we continue to discuss. This radio show is going to continue, and we're going to work as hard as we can to reach out to everybody, because the Navajo Nation government is, yes, it's in our hands. And whether we just showed it, you just showed it, that you voted and you made your voice known. And because of that, it shouldn't just stop with just your votes. Your votes go beyond that. You still have discussion, and you will also bring a lot of issues that need to be brought out so that each of the candidates, every candidate, from the presidential down to the Navajo Nation Council candidates, that they need to hear what we're doing and what you expect, and that what you're doing in your various parts of the Navajo Nation, and or as well as even the people off the Navajo Nation. So if you if we just go silent, I've heard people, I've read on Facebook people saying that they're not going to vote. Well, I think that's a mistake also, because, you know, by not voting, and whatever happens down the road, you know, your non-voting, you're just going to have to go with what everybody else voted, and that is what it is. And unfortunately, that's going to be the how things are going to pan out. But, you know, I know that some people still get on the radio or on Facebook, and they still put their blogs in there, and or their posts and their comments, and whether they voted or not, or whether they have any interest, and whether, you know, all of that. And so there's all of that stuff that we need to bring, as far as bringing voice to those comments. I really enjoy the dialogue. I am the admin of Politics on the Navajo Nation. I created that several years ago, and for a purpose, and the purpose is continuing. We now have 10,000 members. It took a long time to build that, and I enjoy those people that are on there. I thank you for being on there. Thank you for being a friend. But, you know, the ones that are disgruntled and don't like the fact that there's one person who has the, you know, who is the admin on this show, on the Facebook, you know, the Facebook doesn't, we don't make anybody a prisoner of the group page. I mean, you're welcome, you know, they're welcome to go. But I would rather not have them go. I mean, stay online and be our friend, and we'll move forward and have a wonderful dialogue. Ehut oban sis case kahasin loko. Aremstan Navajo people, wherever you're at, off the Navajo Nation or on the Navajo Nation, you're welcome to call in. We have about an hour and 42 minutes. The telephone number here is 323-642-1708. Again, you are listening to Navajo Internet Radio, Call Navajo Politics with Cal Ness. So I appreciate you being here with us this evening, and I am also continuing to blog actually post on Facebook while I'm doing this thing. So we will be back in about a few minutes.
Oh, There you have it. I got H. Hospital. You're listening to Navajo Internet Radio. And telephone number here is 323-642-1708. And this is Cal Nez, and you're listening to Navajo Politics with Cal Nez. And I've been posting on Facebook. I'm inviting people to listen and also to call in. I urge you to give us a call. The issues that are facing us in terms of the Navajo Nation government, it didn't start yesterday. It started several years ago. In fact, almost decades. And so the evolution of that whole entire process of the Navajo Nation government is something that obviously needs to be looked at. Now, I don't want to be sounding like I have any sour grapes in terms of my candidacy and not be able to make it, but I'm still a Navajo citizen. I am still I still have a census number. I still love my Navajo Nation, the Navajo people. I care about the future of the Navajo people. It's important to me. I have such great hopes for the Navajo people. I think the Navajo Nation government, the Navajo land itself, has such tremendous possibility. There's so much opportunity. And as I drove through the whole entire Navajo Nation through to chapter meetings, to Nda Iti Ero Dago Achinji, or even just one-on-one meetings with people, one of the things that, you know, still came into my mind as I visited was the fact that the ideology that is existing on the Navajo Nation, where did it come from? Do you know where that ideology is coming from? And what exactly is that ideology at the grassroots level? All of you people out there who have very strong emotional opinions about where and how and what we should be doing for our Navajo Nation government, this is your opportunity here on air to voice to the world what it is that you think is the direction of the Navajo people. And how important is it that when we talk about the various different platforms that I'm getting text messages here at the same time, so let me see who is texting me. Okay, I'm getting info. All right, well, and so anyway, yeah, there's going to be various different things that we need to address here. And your input, because I know without a shadow of a doubt that the candidates, even the council delegates and tribal employees, they listen to the show. They pick up a lot of the dialogues and the concepts that we talk about. And so your ideas and your thoughts and your concerns and your opinions are going to be very, very important. I welcome you. I welcome you to share these. I want to provide this. I provide this radio show and a platform as far as the Facebook Politics of the Navajo Nation. I allow people to come on and put their, a lot of the, are a little harsh, but, you know, we go through and we try to monitor that. There's some that get through and some don't, and some we catch right on the spot and delete, and so nobody sees it, and so forth and so forth. But we try with 10,000 people out there looking and reading and participating. You know, it kind of gets a little difficult. So, but I do appreciate people, you know, you can report, push the report button and report these people. If there's something absolutely distasteful, totally out of line, all of that stuff. So I've got people here, I'm getting texts from all over the place, and they're willing to text me, but they're not willing to come online. Some of the candidates, I talk to them and ask them to come online, and they too said, well, I'll pass. They didn't give any reasons why. I guess that's the way it goes. But you know what? I will continue to be a voice on behalf of the Navajo people, and I will continue. So please know that. Again, we have about an hour and a half left here on the show, and you're welcome. Give me a call, and I want to hear from you. I want to hear what you think about the two presidential candidates that ran, finish in the top two. And also, as of yesterday, they made the announcement for their vice president selection. What are your thoughts on that? And also, some of the comments that are being made about the various vice presidential selection as to the type of politics that they've done, how much of that is absolutely factual. If you have, information, I'm not trying to solicit any bad blood. What I'm looking at is that in order for us to know who we should vote and support, we've got to know who the person is who is in these running for president, and as well as their selection, by the selection of that one particular person, what does that two dynamics, two teams, what does that mean? And then as we move forward for the next few days, there's going to be that 10 days grace period where people are going to a period 10 days where somebody can make a complaint. And so some very interesting thing that I'm also hearing that some things might happen. And as far as, well, anyway, so several things are possible that are coming down right now. I think they're in the process. And so if you have any insight on those dynamics and, think about that and tell us. And also another part that we ought to be looking at is that, okay, as we move forward, what does the two candidates, you've got Joe Shirley, you've got Chris Cheney. For me, what does their economic philosophy, what have they demonstrated in the past? You know, for me, I think the government has done its best. The government has been there. The government has tried all the way from the federal government to state government to tribal government to chapter government. And it is a cycle. It is something that is contributing to the conditions on the Navajo Nation. But I want to add the business aspect, the private individual, if they get into business with the support of the Navajo Nation government, rather than giving them all sorts of barriers to have them start a business, give them every opportunity to make their dreams come true, but be very fiscally responsible to give them the money rather than giving them a whole $50,000 and say, hey, good luck. You can take that $50,000 or $15,000, whatever it is, and break it up into increments so that the Navajo people out there can take those bits and pieces of the entire loan and build their businesses. People are ready. You see it out there. I saw it in Shiprock. You're driving in. One side of the street is McDonald's. You've got Burger King and KFC, one side. And then you look directly the west of the intersection. Then you see a 10 by 10 pop-ups. And then you've got Navajo people in there and with dirt floor, and they're literally just using the basics to operate a business, and they're selling, and there's a lineup, and they have a drive-up. But why is it when we have people that are willing to work like that, and it's not just them. I've heard about way out there at a Itad Nyaotla, there was a family sitting there, and they were talking about they have a horse ranch and how they bring the horses. They train them and gave me all their, you know, how that they get all the coggins done, their training, their everything, even to the point where they actually resell and breed them there, and they sell the colt, and they have a stud service. I mean, it was just very absolutely impressive that these people out there are running their business like that. And I said, do you guys have a business license? Well, we says we don't even know where to get a business license. So, and I said, did you guys know that you guys are business people? That's the type of business that I, you know, that I support you guys. He said, oh, wow, we're business people. I said, yes, but I said, where do you guys work? They said, well, we work for such and such and such. But nonetheless is that, you know what, that's the reality that our people don't even understand. I mean, that's not a criticism. That's a very positive oops. It's a very good thing. But when you put it in the context of you have a philosophy, you have a product or service, and then you sell that, and you get exchange, you get paid for it by money, well, that's business. Okay, let's not only just take that, and then you drive down the road, and you have people with firewood, coal. I've seen just driving out there in the middle of absolutely nowhere, come over a hill, there's a car parked out there, and they're selling their, you know, it's like a yard sale on the side of the road. They're selling their clothes. Well, you know, I stopped, took pictures of them. I went to, you know, that's another situation. So it's everywhere. Now, that's who I think the government ought to invest in. And I will continue to say that. I said this on the campaign trail. I will say it from now until the day that the Navajo Nation begins to have economic, real economic prosperity. Now back to the candidates. For you out there, how many, which one of these candidates and with their vice president selection do you think is going to, are the two that are going to address and to bring us out of this? What does their track record say about where they're going to take us in that term? The platform that Dr. Joe Shirley Jr. ran on was that, trust me, I've been here, I've done it, and we've got business left undone, and we plan to finish those. Trust me, you've already seen my work. We're very well known. Thank you very much. And that's what he ran on. Now, the question, I suppose, that by adding Dineh Benali to that ladies and gentlemen. This is something for you to think about. It is something for you because you're going to be voting on them. You're going to be the one that's going to place them in that position. Now, what does that mean when they said that? What does it mean to you? Apparently it meant something to the Navajo people because there was 10,000 votes. Now, in reference to that, for you to be thinking about that, while November is fast approaching, is what they have done, is it something that gives you that hope of rising to the next level? It's the concept of the government versus business, or is it government and business, government or business strengthened through government, okay? That's one thought, and that's something for you to answer. I'd like to hear from you. And then you take the Christus Cheney and the Fannie Lou Etzidi ticket. Again, the same question. I generally look at all of my politics and everything that I do through the lens of a businessman. What are the potential in this situation? What are some of the things that we're going to be doing that's going to make and change the Navajo Nation so that the people feel empowered, so that they become independent and self-sufficient and self-reliant? What is it? Well, Christus Cheney. Businessman? How long? And how much of that is he going to take and use? But exactly what in his politicking, what was the philosophy do you think that he ran on, and why? Or is it that this election just turn out to be the older generation versus the young generation? Is that what's opposing? But then that falls apart when you add the Fannie Lou Etzidi ticket, because she's fluent in Navajo and she's also an educator, and so I'm not saying yes, and so her politics and being affiliated with what she's done in the past. Now, having put both of those personalities together, now, is it adequate? Is it good? That do you feel happy about the fact that they're there, and you're just gonna blindly hope that what they said, I'm about leadership, I'm a Marine, and I'm a veteran, does that give you the confidence and the security that our Navajo Nation is going to prosper? Now, there's nothing wrong with being a veteran. In fact, I have a lot of respect for veterans. I love the veterans. My great, or my uncle, the late Harry Benally from Little Water, he was a Navajo code talker. And there was several Tutnisanis from Tosito that are veterans, relatives, blood. And also my wife's grandfather. What an honor it is to be married into a family who has a legacy of one of the greatest things that was ever achieved in the history of the armed services, was that we had Navajo code talkers, and my wife's grandfather, the late Vincent Yaza, was a Navajo code talker. And so I absolutely love, adore, and honor these warriors. Absolutely wonderful. And they're great. And I believe they deserve all of the benefits that they ask for. I believe that they deserve the money that was promised to them from the federal government. I believe that they deserve some benefits. I believe they deserve housing. They need to be taken care of. They place their family members, their family members on the line. A lot of them, they gave. And so they deserve all the recognition that you can think of. So let me just clarify that. That's my feelings in terms of the veterans. I support them. I love them, everything. But in terms of the politics for the Navajo Nation, the Navajo Nation president's office, I didn't say it. Other people said it, and so that's why I Mr. Dischini ran on that ticket. You know it, I know it, everybody knows it. But so there's that. But by adding the other aspect of it, the business, so all I'm saying is that what are your thoughts, you, the listeners, the Navajo people, the voting public, what are your thoughts as now we bring all these dynamics and dimensions all together? So, and I suppose the vetting went on and on and on since the election was won, because, and was it an oops situation in some cases? Is that what you think? Or was it a great selection? And so these are some of the questions that are, some of the things that I want to hear from you, the listeners out there. You know, of course, your opinion matters, and I value that. And I think it's good to discuss and to bring some of these issues out. And it's very, very, it's helping in a lot of ways, because we tend to educate one another. If there's somebody falling down in one place, well, if you, with your educated opinion, you go in there and you help and clarify where our shortcomings are. And together we strengthen one another, and we move forward, and we succeed. I believe the opportunity is there for the Navajo people. I believe that that we are able to achieve our objectives if we work together and in harmony and bring up a lot of these issues. So again, here's the setup. We've got the two presidents, and then they made their selection. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you what you thought, what you think, and how, what could have been the other options. And, or, well, I don't want to hear anybody say I'm not going to vote, because I think that that's a big mistake. I think everybody should vote in the for the president, and also for the council of delegates, and for the school board. School board, I think, is going to be very important, because, what I did when I walked in there, I know who the council, and of course for myself, but I looked at, there was two areas that I didn't even know and didn't even know the name. So, oops to me, I didn't know the name. So I definitely will study who the school board position and other positions in my area. And so I don't want that to be happening to you, because I was concentrating totally so much on the presidential race and as well as the council race that I kind of overlooked the others. So please don't let that happen to you. So please educate yourself out there. We have about an hour and 13 minutes for you to call in. And the telephone number here is 323-642-1708. Again, 323-642-1708. And please call in. I want to hear what your thoughts are. Your opinions are very, very important to me. And so we'll go on a small break, and we'll be back in a few minutes. If somebody calls in, I will phase out the music and bring you right on. we're back. You are listening to Navajo Politics with Cal Nez. Telephone number here is 323-642-1708. Again, 323-642-1708. And you are on the Navajo Internet Radio. I appreciate those listeners. It looks like we've gotten quite a bit of audience right now, but nobody is willing to call in. And I am awaiting your call. I want to hear from you. I want to hear what your opinions are. If you go to the to my page, it's Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com/Navajo Politics with Cal Nez. And that's how you can find us online. And I think you can call in and talk to us. I'm monitoring both my text messages and also my Facebook and trying to garner up enough more information out there. I welcome you. We're talking about the Navajo Nation election and the political season, the political campaign, the personalities of who is in the running, both president and vice president, and as well as council delegates. And you're welcome just to call in and say hello as well. We have about an hour left in the show, so please don't wait to the last minute. Last time that happened, we just had a lot of calls, and of course, I could not. We just jammed the telephone lines. So right now it's open, and I've got lots of people just listening in, which I appreciate, but I would prefer that if people can call in and voice their opinions and let's talk, let's chat, let's review whatever is on your mind. And so while I'm waiting for your calls to come in, again, the telephone number is 323-642-1708. 323-642-1708. This is Cal Nez, and you're listening to Navajo Internet Radio, and it's called Navajo Politics with Cal Nez. Tonight we're talking about the Navajo Nation election, the political season, the candidates, the vice president candidates, the council delegates, and what are your thoughts and how much of that are you expecting is going to change the direction of the Navajo Nation, whether some of the philosophies that other former candidates have presented really resonated with you or it didn't. These are some of the things that, you know, where are we right now as we sit tonight at about 8 o'clock on there on the Navajo Nation, and as well as off the Navajo Nation. This internet radio is going literally all over the world, and our audience is growing again, and I expect we're going to continue to grow, and we're going to make it a lot bigger, and this is not going to be the end of this radio show. We're going to be talking to the other former candidates. I intend to invite them, and also I would love to hear, I've placed calls out to all the four, Dr. Joe Shirley Jr., Danae Benally, Krista Sheeney, and also Fannie Lou Etzidi. I invited them. I would love to have them give me a call if they're listening tonight. Please give us a call. I'd love to hear from you. So that's my intention. We're going to be here. You're going to be here. You're going to voice your opinion. You're going to share. We're going to share. and talking about, because we are at a juncture within our Navajo Nation government where we have really, or the economy for that matter, where we need to just rise and move to the next level. And that next level is something that I think that are we willing to take? And what level is that? I remember in Rio, this is, well, this level is not the level, the next level is the level. Well, I love it. So while we're waiting, I want to just give, oh, there we go. There's another caller, and I'm going to just go right to them and bring them right on online. Hello, caller. This is Cal Nez, and you're online with us. 4940. Yate, identify yourself and where are you calling from?
Yate, Cal. This is Rose Machafi.
Well, hello, Rose. Yate.
Oh, Yate.
How wonderful. First of all, you're calling from Hara Hudna.
I am calling from Fort Defiance.
Oh, wow.
Deja Abalan.
Oh,
just want my mom
okay.
to there so she can enjoy some their time over here.
Oh, yeah, that's right, huh? The Navajo Nation Fair did start and it's going on right now. Well, before we get into your question, hey, how did it go with the Navajo Nation Council race over in Shiprock area?
It was a pretty clean race. I think our community probably isn't ready for new politicians like us. The new ones didn't really get too many votes. Just the old politicians that have been there, like Ray Begay and Wallace Charlie. Tom T, he's not from Shiprock. I think he's from Loop, Arizona. Because Leonard Chi is his brother, so I don't know why he ran for council delegate from Shiprock.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So it was a pretty good race. Considering, you know, my lack of resources, I did pretty good. I think if I had a little more resources, funding, I would have done a little better, but... it's good. It was a good experience.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess you've got to give it to everybody who made that effort. You know, no matter how much vote that you garnered, you know, the fact of the matter is that,
yes.
You know, there's very, very few of us who are willing to go out there and say, okay, well, let me try it. Because even though there's a lot of risk and a lot of personal things that are going to be, you know, brought out, and there's all those, that side of the politics, you know, congratulations that you put your, you know, your life on, or not life, but your out there and basically said, hey, I'm gonna do it. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. That was an experience, yes. So.
Yeah.
So what are you
mind?
All discussing now?
We're talking about the Navajo Nation. Of course, we've got the election where we have, how things all turned out from the president to the council delegates to the school boards and what have you. And so I just wanted to get some feedback from people to talk about what their thoughts, because there's a lot of passionate, very, very passionate people on Facebook talking about, well, first of all, we had Dr. Joe Shirley Jr. and Mr. Chris Deschini finishing the top two. And then as of yesterday, you know, they added their vice president selection. And, of course, that brought on a whole nother level of discussion. So that's where I'm at, and I'm just basically wanting to hear from people what their thoughts are. And so, or you're welcome to call in and just, you know, say whatever you would like. So what's on your mind, Rose?
Well, the we were talking about the qualifications for our Navajo Nation president, and mm-hmm. one of the qualifications that we were questioning was that Chris Deschini signed under oath that he knew how to speak Navajo, but, you know, we Navajo speakers know that he doesn't. So that was a big question that I had. You know, mm-hmm. is that you know, the first instance of, you know, thinking that you can get away with something, you know, through loopholes or whatever to get into power. And then after that, they got vice president, and he selected Fannie Lou Etchedy, and that's when I thought, I better not do it anymore, because Fannie is a really a good choice for vice president. So I'm keeping quiet now, you know, considering I don't want to, keeping quiet now, but I know that Navajo language, our language, you know, maintaining our language mm-hmm. and, you know, continuing efforts to revitalize our language has always been a concern for me, and, you know, I have a sense of urgency when it comes to that. So mm-hmm. now I'm going back and forth, you know, between that and, you know, just giving them leeway and saying, okay, well, you know, which I don't want to do.
Does the Nebenali, or is it Dene? How do they pronounce his name?
Dene.
Dene Benali. Is he fluent in Navajo?
I think he is. Yeah. Heard him talking Navajo.
Is that right? Well, you bring up some very, very interesting point, and I think that, you know, here's my question to you. You know, okay, when we talked about the, or at least, well, let me just clarify one thing. The angle that when somebody brought that up, when I originally posted that, my input on that particular thing was that, okay, it is not, I'm not so much picking on the fact that it is a one particular person. In this case, it's Chris Deschini. It could have been anybody else. It could have been somebody else who does not speak or does understand, of course, our culture. I mean, a lot of our children, a lot of our friends, a lot of our relatives, they understand Navajo but don't speak Navajo. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, having said that, okay, that's reality. Number two is that, okay, but there is a law, okay? There's mm-hmm. a law, or I don't know if it's a law, but it's, at least it's listed in the qualification.
Yeah.
Now, that line, it says the candidate must speak Navajo fluently. That's a law. It is what it is, and it's not my law, Calnez, or any of the other people's law. It's the law of the entire Navajo Nation government, and that's what's predicated that we conduct our politics with. Now, having mm-hmm. said that, how do you see this whole thing coming together as we move forward? Are we not going to live by our laws? Are we going to bend certain laws? Or is well, if we bend this law, then are we able to bend the law for discretionary fund or that particular NNOG or that? You know, it just opens up a whole another can of worms, if you will. What's your thoughts on that, Rose?
I know that the politicians, you know, some of our leaders that take advantage of, you know, those loopholes, you know, they've always been doing that. And we hear about that, you know, discretionary funds, and they try to look for all different ways to get away with violations that they've committed. And this is just another case, I think, and that's why they don't take it very seriously. This law that says that the Navajo Nation president should be fluent in the language, they're not going to take it seriously. Nobody takes it seriously. It's like, what are you talking about? And it's not true, you know. So we're that, you know, the main issue for me is that I expect our Navajo Nation leader to communicate with my monolingual mother and also us bilingual to feel that our language clarifies a lot of concepts and, you know, keeps us together, and we value our language. And so that's my issue. I think breaking the law issue is secondary to that.
Okay. So,
but
so
I,
what
I
you're
know
saying?
They've been doing. I mean, they're breaking the laws, and they don't care. you see it. I mean, you see it. I'm not a lawyer, and I'm you know, just a regular member of the tribe, but I can see it. You know, laws being broken, and people just letting them break laws.
Right.
And DOJ, you know, I think they're the problem.
Yeah. So now, having said that, so do we move, so do we just continue with the process, or do you think somebody's going to do something about it, or somebody's going to change the law to that? What do you think?
It all depends on whoever the council. I mean, if we have some council members who go into this new council, the next council, who really are concerned about all these issues that we're raising and that we're concerned about, and if they listen to their people from their chapters, I'm hoping that laws will change, you know, to help us more and to make them more accountable in all areas, and like, you know, procedures that they have to follow. They have to follow those procedures, period. And in that way, we need leaders like that. And so that's what I'm hoping the council will take that into consideration and, you know, help us clean up at the you know, the departments and the divisions and the departments, and even, you know, up to the president. But I don't know.
I know what you're thinking. I know exactly what you're thinking.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
it's going to be the, you know, it might go back to the same old, another 4 years, you know. In another 4 years, we would be talking about the same thing again. So, that's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah. Well, so now, having said that, just in closing for your segment, where are we going from here? What do you see evolving all the way until November and the next 4 years?
My main issue, like I said, is, you know, we as a people, you know, being sovereign, being recognized as the with our language and culture, and protecting our resources, our lands, and providing for a better future for our children. You know, those are some issues that that I had really been thinking about and hoping for, and that's the reason why I really wanted Dwayne Ikshazi to, you know, I really gave him a lot of support because he had the same hopes that I had. And so basically that was my main concern. So hopefully, you know, we will have a better handle on our energy development and also make sure that the human rights issues are addressed, rather than just thinking about the profits and the money and the jobs.
Exactly.
To protect our health too. So,
exactly.
And then education too. We need to, I don't like to use the word decolonize, but I think that's it. Decolonize our educational processes and teach our kids about our language and our culture and get them involved in our government. So it was simple as that. And of course, jobs, and really involving our youth and getting them to work for us, and, you know, give them high pay and provide relevant, meaningful jobs for them. And that goes to land issues again. So they need, you know, places or homes and stuff like that. And those, you know, those are some hopes that I have, that all Navajo families will have a home. Most young people will stay here on the res to, like, to contribute their talents and knowledge. And a lot of economic growth in terms of jobs, not just coal mines, you know, healthy for a healthy community. So that was basically what we were trying to, you know, send out to people as our message.
I appreciate that, Rose. I mean, that's a very, very powerful statement that you just made. I really, really do appreciate it, and it's a good thing. That you're calling in and you share your ideas with us, and you know, we're going to be holding these type of shows periodically. And I again congratulate you on your effort in running, and also for also calling in. Very nice words of wisdom that you share with us, and I appreciate that.
I didn't realize I was going to go on one. I was just going to listen.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
So, again, that's Rose Nofchisi from Shiprock. And, you know, I mean, it's just so absolutely wonderful that she took the time and to call in and share some of her insights with us. And again, congratulations to her for running. You're listening to Navajo Politics with Cal Nez, and we are on the air, and we have about 40 minutes. Last time everybody called in at the very last minute, and a lot of people was unable to join in. So we got another caller, 4543. Could you identify yourself and where you're calling from? Yate? Or maybe you're just calling in just to listen in. I guess the person was just calling just to listen in. So, excuse me, but nonetheless, we are talking about this evening, we're talking about the Navajo Nation politics. The Navajo Nation politics, which involves obviously the campaign season and the primaries, We have the council races. I am constantly getting updated text messages from various former candidates. We're still in dialogue with each other. And also I'm hearing from advisors and other campaigns and council delegates. And so there's a lot of information going back and forth. And for me, as I've always said, you know, I'm going to be in this discussion because I started my business 27 years ago. I've been doing that, and I've been advocating Navajo business, economic development, and growth on the Navajo Nation, and not only on the Navajo Nation, but other tribes throughout the country, working with various chambers from California to North Dakota, Texas, and all these different areas, and trying to connect and working with the National Center for American Indian Enterprise Development from out of Mesa, Arizona, and keeping that dialogue going. I mean, that's always been my emphasis, is that the time has come when the Native Americans tribes can really flourish rather than relying on the governments as we have done for many years. And so that's the lens that I'm always going to look through, and I'm going to continue that. And so, but as far as the politics, I don't want to be known as a politician. I would rather be known as the business person. I'm glad that they listed that in many different areas is that, because I think that that's something that I would love to have the younger generation pick up and understand, and because I think they're ready. I've met with many, many youth throughout the Navajo Nation during my run, and they were absolutely wonderful. There's a group from Shiprock that I was just so absolutely impressed with, and I sat in on some of their meetings, their conducts of their meetings, and I tell you, the language that they carry in each of those meetings and how they express and their ideology in terms of how it would work off the Navajo Nation, as well as bringing a whole new fresh thought onto the Navajo Nation. And I, for one, will always believe the Navajo people are ready. I mean, they are ready. And now we just need leadership that can step in there and to be able to make their dreams come to pass. And I don't for one moment will second guess that these kids will be able to run their businesses. I mean, like, for instance, there's this one gal that I met in Shiprock. I just happened to be sitting at a McDonald's, and I was eating my salad and my Diet Coke, and they were sitting right next to me. I wasn't eavesdropping, but I just happened to, just in the manner that they were talking their business and how they were selling advertisement in magazines, and I just happened to kind of like, you know, I was sitting here eating my salad and drinking and doing my internet stuff, trying to catch up on things, and they absolutely caught my ear. I turned and I said, you know, and I just kind of, you know, looked over there twice and noticed that they had a magazine, they were selling ads, and they were placing calls. I thought, and I asked the gal, I said, you know, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm so impressed with you guys, the way you're talking business. I said, do you guys own a business? They said yes, and the conversation went on. And there's all these little cells all over the Navajo Nation that are very much similar to that. Now, so that just tells me that the Navajo people are ready. I was over in the Tsayatwa and also in the Manalito area and talking to a lot of the people, and even Lupton, and all the way down to Nahat-Atzil and everybody that's all along that I-40. And just the ideas that some of the people are thinking, they're beginning to understand that there is a potential for economic growth along I-40. And what is it going to take? And while I was there, people were asking, hey, Mr. Nez, stop. Can you talk and tell us? And they were just absolutely just zeroing in on the business. And what is it that it's going to take to be, to have their particular chapter become self-sufficient and to be able to drum up some of their own funds rather than looking to the Navajo Nation government? And so there's just a little bit of fix that needs to happen in terms of who's going to be responsible for the actual business development versus what's the role of the government and what's the role of the individual. That needs to be defined and clarified in all aspects of the Navajo Nation chapters and, well, just everywhere. And so, and it's not just there. Some people even here in the Salt Lake City area and Phoenix and, you know, the rest of the United States, you know, there is a employer versus, not versus, and also an employee mentality. And neither of them are bad, and but it's just the way that people think, you know, and that's okay. You know, that's not a criticism. Same thing applies to people that are on the Navajo Nation. There's people always that, you know, they don't want to fuss with the idea that they're going to run a business, but they're willing to support and to be able to work for somebody else, maybe as a manager and so forth. You know, self-employment is not for everybody, but it is for the individual who desires to do that. One business happens in Manuelito along I-40 right there. There's land. People all of a sudden make a big issue of, hey, you know what? I have a grazing permit person, or this area is owned by that family, and that family has the grazing permit on this thing, and we've asked them numerous times why they're not willing to let it go. Well, my question to these officials was this. I said, why, it started all the way from central government on down. I asked the council delegates, I asked the president's office, all the way down to the chapter officials. I says, why is it that you guys feel like it's your responsibility to take that land away from that person? Have you ever asked them, those owners, if they wanted to build and develop their land and let them own that business on there, that's on their land? I asked that many times, and they said, huh, no. I said, why do you feel that it's the government's responsibility to take that land from there? And then it evolves into eminent takeover and these other things. Well, has anybody ever asked these landowners if they wanted to develop them? And I came across one that says, oh, I own that land. I said, okay, has anybody ever asked you? And I will attest to this. I mean, this is absolutely, I'm not just making this up. I was on the campaign trail, and I heard it. And this is what I mean by the Navajo people being ready, and maybe some of the understanding is not really all in place, but it's there. The ideology is there. Now, what if we just rest and take time and then reevaluate and begin to invest in our people and at the grassroots level and define what it is that they want to do and allow them to make that decision to develop their land rather than the government trying to take that away. By the government trying to take away the rights and taking certain land that is economically viable, what that does, it then goes into grazing rights. And they start to, you know, and this is exactly what really spun this whole this horse roundups and taking the grazing permits away or defining it and this and this and this. And rather than talking about allowing these people at the local level, let them give them the idea, plant them. One person says, I'm just way too old. I don't know if I can develop the land, and my kids are all living elsewhere. I says, sir, you know what? Have you ever heard about investors? Well, you use their money to develop them. You own 100% when you make that money up, and then you give them the money back that they loaned you plus a certain percentage so they can have their money make more money. And so, but you should own the land. And then when you get this gas station or whatever it is that you want to do, hotels and convenience stores, you can go in there and develop or actually hire a business manager that can live on site and allow them to make the money for you, and Nate Okujidoski doesn't sell. You start having the money start to come in. And heaven knows that some of your, you know, by you starting your hotel, now all of a sudden you start to help you have to hire other people, or that your business manager hires. Now you're starting to have economic development. And then some of those people, you know, and it just, I can just go on and on about this whole thing. And it was so wonderful for me when I was out there on the campaign trail talking to these people and just literally strategizing these type of things. And they were like, wow, Cal, that is, you know, never thought about that. And then one person said to me, what about the land? We have land. I've got land. I've got this, you know, right there by such and such highway. And I've been thinking about this, and I wanted to expand this way and that way. How come I can't expand? Because the next person right next to me is the land that I'm looking at this is owned by that family, and they're not willing to give it to me. And this person on that side won't give it to me, but, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It always comes down to the grazing permits. And it's their problem, and they're not willing to this. It's always the blame. But I went and asked the person who said that, who's having an issue. I said, you already have land, right? He said, yeah. I said, have you ever thought about, rather than expanding sideways, why not expand upward? And the person looked at me and said, So there's all those issues, and something that we ought to talk about, and something that we ought to address. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we're talking about the Navajo Nation politics, and here's some of the potential, these ideas, and whether they're important to you or not, you know, I think that that's what's going to change the paradigm or the position of the Navajo Nation and its economic development. Now, I've got another caller on the phone. I hope that they stay and willing to express their opinion. Caller, could you identify yourself, where you're calling from, and what your thoughts are?
Hello. Hi. Am I on?
You are on the air.
Thank you. That was a nice little rant that you made about the Navajo businesses and how the – well, you hear it talked among the Navajo people, even in, you know, you having your lunch or dinner at McDonald's, they're talking about business. And I think that's actually really great that the next generation is learning about business, how to operate a business. It's something amazing because 20 years ago, we had very few options. It was either we could continue to go to school and become a welder, or either go to construction, or, you know, take care of the ranch back home. But the whole idea with the internet and business, people, how they make money off it, how can we make money? How can we thrive in, you know, in this business world? And it's something that I think the next generation is really picking up really quickly and adapting to it as well, too. I mean, I really like that story that you told about overhearing the – was it the family at McDonald's? Was that right?
No, it was two young gals. I mean, they were probably in their early 20s or mid 20s thereabouts. Yeah, it was awesome.
I mean, that's great to hear that. I mean, it's something that should be perhaps even talked in school to be really focused on, because we're mostly this next generation. It's going to be something. That's what they're really praising for, is just to go into business, have your own business thrive as an entrepreneur, and just do what you love. Do what you love, and how can you make money out of doing what you love? I mean, that's really great. I think that's what should be talked among the next generation. I'm really happy that they're talking among themselves about that. That's great.
Yeah.
And,
well, the economic development aspect of it. I mean, so now in terms of is this Will?
Oh no, this is Brian calling from Los Angeles. I caught your show. Usually I'm always busy doing something else, but tonight I caught the show. I had a lot of time to spare and listen. I mean, it's great to call and talk to you.
I appreciate that. Looking in from that side, what's your thoughts on the Navajo Nation and the its politics?
Well, I don't get much. I try to pick up here and there, listening to the candidates speak online. I mostly rely on YouTube, and the Navajo Times did a great thing of uploading the videos of questions, and I think I saw you on there too, talk as well too. It's
mm-hmm.
hard because I'm not on the reservation. I don't get much of the talk among family members or friends. All I had to do is just rely on online resources, the Farmington Daily Times, the newspapers from Arizona, and what I see on YouTube and the Navajo Times as well too. But it looks like race looks really great, and I think with the candidates, them choosing I think they did a great thing. I mean, Shirley picked someone who's a lot younger, really educated, going for the younger crowd, and I think both of them did a smart move choosing their side. And it's hard out here because there's a few Navajos that I know that live out here, and they really aren't keeping up with what's going on back home. Mostly we're occupied with our just trying to live out here and thrive and create our own business, and we have a Native community out here as well too, so it's good to hear this and catch up on this.
Well, that's way cool. I'm glad you call. I'm seriously so absolutely glad, because you're calling from some of the most metropolitan as you can get. Los Angeles, you can't get any more metropolitan. Los Angeles and New York, and now there's a lot of questions for that I've always had for urban Navajos. Okay. Now, if you wouldn't mind. Because I'd like to understand how that, from your perspective as an urban Navajo, if you don't mind me calling it urban Navajo or off-res or whatever, Los Angeles Navajo.
Yeah, always grew up with a nickname. They would call it city, there's that city boy.
Yeah,
exactly. And I could tell them, I'm from Tuba City. Yeah, okay.
That's a good one. I like that. So having said that, now, do you mind sharing with me how old you are?
Oh, I'm 33 years old.
Okay, you're 33 years old. You're married?
Yes, I am.
And then you, are you fluent in Navajo?
No, I'm not really fluent. I do know, I did grow up on the res. I grew up in the dormitory, but never really picked up on the language or, held on to it. Yes, I did take Navajo lessons in high school and continued them in college, at the Net College, but it never really stuck to me. English, I was always, English, I could just speak English fine, but Navajo, I do have trouble. My grandparents and grandmother, they do speak Navajo to each other. But my mother, growing up, she only spoke English. Yeah, English. She was one of those res kids back in the day where they had to go into foster homes off the reservation. So she grew up away from her mother and father until she became a teenager, then returned back to the res to live with them, and that's where I came in. So she raised me as a single mother, so I never really picked that up. And I'm not really from Tuba City, but I just like to say that, you know, if people call me City Boy, I just say Tuba. But I'm from Montezuma Creek, Utah area. So that part of the Navajo Nation, it's really English speaking over there. You see, because in school, I remember I went to school there from second grade on up, English. We just spoke English. Really, some of the real kids are either from from Red Mesa or below Bluff, the ones that live with their grandmother. They come to school and they speak Navajo to each other. They kind of separate it from the main Navajo groups out there and had their little own group that only spoke Navajo. And then there was a time where I went to, my grandparents enrolled me into Shanto boarding school. And into that school, they all the kids spoke Navajo. And the dorm mates had to come in and say, listen up, everyone. There's a new kid here. His name's Brian. He doesn't speak Navajo. All those kids, their heads turned. They looked straight at me like, whoa. One of the little kids kind of shook my shoulder and said, really? You don't speak Navajo? And I said, no, I'm sorry. No, I don't. And it never really caught on. I wouldn't say I didn't have an interest. There's, you know, the kids, they talk Navajo. I can always tell what people are saying, either by their body language or, you know, body language.
So you understand it. Language. You understand it, though.
Yes, I understand it. I could answer yes or no if you can respond back in English, but now, they're really stuck with me.
Yeah, so we've got 17 minutes in the show, and I'm gonna continue to, you know, if you wouldn't mind just, you know, staying with me here. I'm glad you called in because there's several things that I'd like to talk about, and now that, you know, you represent a community that I think is, what is now within our Navajo culture, and that is that we have people who still are connected to the Navajo Nation, which I assume you are. You said you are from Montezuma Creek. You've experienced res life right there in Montezuma Creek / and then you went over to a boarding school, and somehow you ended up in Los Angeles. Now, how often do you go back to the Navajo Nation?
Not very often. I lived on the res most of my life. I went to Dana College, and that's where I met my wife. And we moved to Flagstaff, both married in Flagstaff, and that was a time where we had we did make our first attempt to move to a major city because I wanted to pursue a career in film, the film industry. So, we decided to live in Los Angeles, and it was hard. That's one thing they didn't teach you at school, how to negotiate a contract. Because when I came out here, I was just like, I had to rent an apartment. Okay. Rented an apartment. Okay, I had to figure things out. Traffic's different. The laws are different. Okay, everything's different. I have the apartment, but I don't have a parking space. So I had to go through another company to get a parking space. Parking is really awful out here. On the res, you can just park anywhere on your lawn, your uncle's yard. But out here, no, you cannot. You'll get an $80 ticket for just parking on the street, or you'll get your vehicle towed. I had my vehicle towed twice when I lived here because I slept 2 minutes before they decided to tow. And it's really difficult to survive out here. But when we're here, my wife, she got pregnant with my first and only son. And my family back home, I didn't have a place. I'm a married man. I live out here, and my family, I don't have a home. I don't live there anymore. There's no room. My mother has more than six kids, so my room's occupied with those other kids. So we decided to move to San Antonio, Texas. We had some friends there, and they helped set us up. And I got a job and started, lived out there for 3 years. It's one of the best places. If you haven't been, it's really, the people and the atmosphere is totally different compared to Arizona, Utah, New Mexico, Colorado. It's really a different vibe out there, and I like it. The food's
right.
great. But there's still that itch. I had to come back to Los Angeles and continue with what I love. Do what you like. Try to make a business out of it. So we came out here with that idea. We struggled a lot. We're still struggling. My wife, she just completed her education at UCLA.
Congratulations.
We both worked hard of it. She worked the most going to class. I mean, it took a long time. And now it's my turn. So I'm continuing with going that route, and hopefully I'll be finishing up at the end of next year. But it's tough. It's tough. I had to leave everything low-key. I mean, we don't live – rent out here is $1,500 per month. So you always have to work and go to school at the same time. Always a tight schedule. So it's really, really rough out here. But There's
Certainly,
Navajo,
any,
believe it or not.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, there's Navajos out here. Before the job market crashed and there was less jobs, people being laid off, there was Navajos coming out here working, construction, Exxon, all these refineries out here full of Navajos. And I met people from my hometown, from Shanto, from Muslim Creek, from Window Rock out here, and no, they liked it out here. They decided to stay, and as soon as they got laid off, they still continue to live out here. So there's only a few of them here and there, but we still either keep in contact or we'll run into each other at the Indian Center or at a powwow at UCLA. So they're still here, and it's surviving. It's surviving,
yeah.
And sometimes I would return back home to the reservation Thanksgiving. Before that was probably 2 years. Thanksgiving again. That seems to be always the best holiday to go home to meet the family again. And it's really, you can't really afford to take a day off out here. You can't really afford to take 2 days off. On the res life is so slow, so relaxing. Everyone's cool. But you're on your toes. I'm on the set schedule. I have to leave in 10 minutes now and do something else at night. So I got to do that as well, too. But, so often I go back home.
Yeah,
but
well,
that doesn't
you know,
mean I, but
yeah,
that
so what I'm getting
I,
at
I,
here.
Oh, good.
What I'm getting at here is I wanted to find out, you know, how much does the Navajo Nation politics mean to you?
I would say, before that, before this election, I did not really keep up with that. I did not keep up with politics. Sometimes I would stumble upon great articles on the Navajo Times, even the Navajo Post, and read certain stories. But this, with this election coming up, that kind of sparked an interest, and I started reading up about the candidates, where everyone's from, even the Klan, and started listening to the candidates on YouTube and listening to the video, and I wish some of them would actually be saved onto YouTube, even a MP3 download. I mean, I would love just to listen to that, and but I would always miss it. The schedule out here is so it consumes everything I have. So if I would like to download something, listen, even this podcast, I would like to download it and listen to it on the go tomorrow or when I'm in traffic, heavy traffic out here. I mean, I try my best to keep involved with this, but it's so far everything's moving a lot quickly.
So having said that, now You don't have to answer this question, but I'm just curious. Did you vote?
Yes.
Okay.
Vote,
now,
yes. Okay.
Perfect. Now, what motivated you to vote?
What motivated? Everyone. It was just, I would say, what got motivated me the most was Facebook, social media. Social media with articles, people talking, discussions, go online. A lot of them were negative comments, but a lot of them were great comments. People made great points, and just that's how that's the only way you could really get involved if you live off the reservation. It's just you get caught up in that, and you say, all right, I'm going to go out and vote. So I had to do the mail it off.
Absolutely.
And it worked out fine. I'm not going to say who I voted for, so... But,
that's cool. So now, with the, are you satisfied with the outcome of the two? Any opinions on the presidential two front runners and also their vice president selection? And do they fit into your philosophy as an urban Navajo?
You know what? I would say I am satisfied. I'm glad people got. You know, I'm not really sure if people got more involved now than they did a few years ago. It seems that with this new tool of them using social media instead of billboards on the side of the road, but getting online, buying ads on Navajo Times, Navajo Post, and I was wondering if the outcome, the number of people that got involved voting-wise were more than
I think
the last
the end
election.
Result. Yeah, I think the end result on that was literally almost nearly about the same turnout
about
as the last
same.
Election.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh well. But no, I'm glad with the outcome. I'm fine with it. I'm just glad that everyone was fired up about who they should vote for, the discussions, and I'm glad. I'm glad in continuing, and I think them picking up. Their running mates, it's fine. I'm happy with it, and I think I would still like to see what happens in the next few years to come and the outcome of that too. So I'll see if I can keep in touch
awesome.
Keep myself involved in that.
Yeah, please do. Thanks for your call, and please call and don't hesitate because I really want to know how the Navajos on the outskirts of the, you know, throughout America. I want to hear from you guys, see what your thoughts are, see what, you know, I mean, that would be awesome. So I appreciate you calling in. I've got another caller that's waiting online, and I will bring them on. Again, thank you. Please, you know, don't hesitate to call in.
You picked me up before, but I dropped my Coke, so I got disconnected. And all right, you have a good night, and good night, Navajo Nation. Good night, everybody, my grandparents, and Baba Booey. Bye-bye.
There you have it. So there's another caller that says absolutely, and also another very, you know, that's so cool. I'm so glad that people are calling in, and I know there's listeners from all over the nation, and so thank you. That guy was just absolutely for sharing your life with us, and of course I wanted to hear about how the Navajo Nation or what your thoughts are from out there and whether how much I'm glad you guys are taking interest, and I believe it is, you know, in the coming years, the Navajo Nation is going to call upon us to be able to come home and really make the Navajo Nation a great nation. So, yeah, Lon. So, anyway, you're listening to Navajo Politics with Cal Nez and calling all the way from Window Rock, Arizona, while she is waiting for Diamond Rio to perform is the famous Eloise Dixon Brown. Yeah, Deja. Oops, I gave her this great intro and she doesn't answer me. I love it. I wanted to hear from her. I guess she's now...
Hello?
Hey, Eloise, I gave you this great intro, and you don't answer.
Well, I did, but I'm driving home, so you know how my day goes. I had a long day. I hope there's some grandmas and Chays and Nollies out there listening. Eloise Brown, additional touch sheet name, Shoshin, Bushishin, Tanisani, Dashinando, Kiaani, Dashiche. Yes, and thank you for inviting me to your radio show, and here I am. So, what do you have going?
Yeah, Yateo. Well, tonight we're just talking about Navajo politics, and there's a lot of callers that are waiting, that are just listening in and urging people to call in, because I want to talk about the Navajo Nation president's race, the two front runners, and also now their selections, and a lot of emotions. On Facebook and so forth and so forth. So I just want to give, opportunity philosophically what they represent. And by the way, we only have about 3 minutes and 25 seconds left, so we're going to have to make this quick.
Do you want this in English or Navajo?
Ahajishiananzanja.
Okay.
So because right now, English A doesn't matter, Don Nissa.
Okay, well, actually, make as you know, like, so, she needs to understand that she does. Oh, I need to add the is Nelly Yego, eh, yeah, he that is Asa, though, or you had a dog, though, he just has now eight, a dog, Nishik, a dog, Asha, the dog, don't snag, he put out, just. That's that of Neto Ado Shiko at Halfinson. When you know, you have the logic on Chagi, or you have the nearby young kid, not should that mean the Desert Rock Power Plant. A was Ado City, a you have perhaps with Ebenina, a you had all that snow. Vice President, but Vice President, mind ji to power plant ji aj e anin an nishta halon ha chine pano ya ki ko halet a e ya ha na ha chine ba ya e na johnson she do she so hot e da bin na ki e ya hai di the father e pa hat ji ki halo to ani e na nishta halon de na nishi ki sa hot ko ad ne ha ko shi aj ko ben da ha a e an ne hin sen ko ne ka e ya ha do I say to you, I can't speak on as far as his character. A call for Ashik A no finish with Albans's case though. Oh, you, yeah, go ahead and lay a yaski or a deep version to Casey Beecher. A kiss the who's net or the next at the hug net. I look at not only Nez, the odd age of Shirley, though the Nebinali odd age has killed with our Ibana day, a condo, Dodge and Mida. Ado, Oshi, a sister who is net, though I see ya by a day, keep the 100 years of one to the kiss off, but our Ayaha, Nahayat, a shik a nothing, the shared on her bantus kiss, thought she had, I not argue, thought she had, shouldn't I?
Awesome. Yeah, Lana should deja in join Lado Arashi D Sot Aban Nadit Edo late next week. Of course she added on each and now did Leto Jo everything, keep us up to date with what's going on. We need everybody's opinion. You're the first person that came up and said exactly what your thoughts are. Absolutely wonderful. So we got 10 seconds. Thank you for calling, sister. Next week, you're listening to Navajo Politics with Cal Nez. We'll talk to you real soon.